morning. My name is Danielle LaRocca-Arena, Dr. LaRocca-Arena, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. I am joined by a wonderful group of colleagues from the Child Health Advisory Council to career physicians, and some of whom are participating in today, but all of whom have contributed intellectually to the conversations that we are going to have. I'd like to acknowledge that in deciding the topic for today, which is community involvement and leadership recruitment, this is one of many conversations that we are having. And we will be pretty informal. While I introduce myself as Dr. LaRocca-Arena, we're going to quickly switch to Danielle and to other names to share with you that as colleagues who have been in leadership positions, we hope to share in our lived experiences as leaders. And we are still learning, so this is a process. In discussing community involvement and leadership recruitment, we want to acknowledge a few things. One is we are in the year 2023. We're in the last several decades, but certainly accentuated with the pandemic and the issues that have occurred in our country. We're very focused on commitment to health equity, okay, and recognizing that excellence in academic medicine must strive for the best health outcomes. And of course, I said Child Health Council, so we are child health professionals and focused on the lives of children and their families and communities. And we have made a commitment, and been joined by most organizations around the country, that commitment to quality health outcomes, to the best health status of our children, lies in a diverse, inclusive, and equitable workforce. So we are here to discuss how to eliminate health disparities, get the best outcomes by recruiting the individuals who are fully committed to that mission. We know that there are certain models that have been out there that we're not going to discuss in details, but we're going to go to the topic of community involvement and recruitment. But there are such things as community-based, competency-based educational models that begin with what are the community needs and how do we, as child health professionals, respond to those needs in how we recruit faculty, division directors, chairs, et cetera, deans, presidents, et cetera. How is our commitment in academia circle right back to the children, families, and communities that we are slated to serve? Many academic institutions are the only institution. In my own experience in Syracuse, we were the only academic medical center for 1.8 million children. Anyway, that's our framework. DEI competencies have been endorsed by the AAMC, and we will have a host of references for you on our website and career physicians at the end of this. Career Physicians, as I said, is dedicated to excellence in recruitment, and our conversations will be free-flowing. We hope to share some wisdoms, but again, we are still learning. Now, I'm going to project the first one slide only. Usually we don't use slides in this, but I thought it was instructive. We had one presentation which was titled before in our discussions on diversity realized, proactive disruption in traditional search processes. And we had the following slide. In our first discussions about diversity realized, which diversity is broad. It can be cognitive diversity, racial, cultural, gender, et cetera. I think most of you are familiar with that. We looked at a proposed organizational structure for searches that lead to excellence. And this started at the very top. If you're in a university setting, a state setting, that there is an explicit stated commitment to excellence, which includes a commitment to justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Then it filters down to an explicit departmental commitment to adherence to evidence-based alignment with the mission, vision, and values, to then the composition and structure of the selection search committees, okay, which is where the work of this group begins. And then filters down to department chairs, center directors, division directors, faculty, students. And then you would see on each side, community, university, and government partners, an external advisory group. The ecosystem of academia is what I'm discussing. So we're going to begin with the first challenging question, okay? Your institution has decided that community involvement in the recruitment of leadership will occur. That decision has been made. What preparations would you deem important in engaging the best representation from the communities served by your academic institution? Please discuss in your reflections the type of involvement that would be envisioned. For example, interviewer community tours. And I'm really thrilled to have our dear colleague Arnold Strauss begin launch us in this discussion.
Thank you, Danielle. I think it's important to recognize three constituencies in the community when recruiting a leader and make sure that everybody understands the purpose. So there are two purposes, I think. First is to demonstrate, not just say, but demonstrate the institution's commitment to the community by involving community constituencies. I think it's also critical to make sure that those constituencies reflect the diversity and inclusion criteria that the institution believes in. Those constituencies in the community are professional, that is pediatricians, for example, parental, those family members who have used the hospital and the services, and community organizations. It's a little different which one does. So for pediatricians, I think it's very important to involve the community pediatricians in the interview process with a potential leader so as to make sure that they have the opportunity to raise their issues and that the candidate has an opportunity to respond to them. I did that when I was recruited to be chair of pediatrics at both institutions. And it really created a positive environment of the interaction between the community pediatricians and the children's hospital. The parents are critical. Most children's hospitals have a parental advisory group, and they are very much aware of the issues that a leader must face in the institution. And so I think they should be part, either in a separate group or a part of that recruitment process. And then third are the community groups themselves. And the example that I would give of that is mental health, because here in Cincinnati, we have mental health professionals in the schools helping the children. And that demonstrates in depth our commitment to the community and to the children for that major problem. So I think involving those three constituencies, making sure that the preparation is there to have people who understand the issues and can raise them in a positive way, but raise the problems as well.
Thank you. You mentioned that you knew that mental health issues were a big issue for your community and in fact had done something by incorporating the services in school-based, I'm assuming in school-based health services. I'd love to see if the rest of our colleagues here could comment on that. Your assessment was of the community needs, as I heard it. Can others comment on that and how they've dealt with that in their own communities in responding to the involvement in recruitment, identifying those community needs?
I think Arnie really laid it out and well in terms of different constituencies. Each of those groups can provide insights and assistance in different ways, and how one incorporates them may depend on whether it's a chair role or a division chief role, and also the closeness of those constituencies to the department. Community pediatricians were really critical because they are source of referring and often were trained in the organization that you're recruiting to, and they're the most familiar with the organization and the searches. The communities are really critical to understand the needs and to help identify skills that would be needed to address those needs by constituencies. If they're going to be on the search committee, it's really important, as Arnie said, to, I think, prepare those individuals for, you know, kind of what some of the needs of the organization are as well. And so they will understand why some of the questions during the interviews and also give them a better idea of the skills in their, from their point of view, that would be helpful to be successful in the organization. It won't help the community if an individual comes and is not able to fulfill the needs of the institution as well as the community. So I guess what I'm saying is that I think one area that I feel like I might have been better at is preparing the people for interviews, for community visits, and also the role they will play, you know, so that their engagement is not, for instance, a disappointment. We want to be sure that it's a positive, because it's a tremendous positive of attracting the best candidate, because candidates, if they know there's a community that will support them, very, very helpful.
Thank you, Bruder. And obviously sharing the prospectus, which may have a lot of information, maybe something you want to do for all search committees. Craig, I know you wanted to weigh in on this.
I was just going to say that I think the challenge is to find out which of the communities, which part of the community or which of the communities that we're involved with, we want to be as part of the search, because it can't be the cast of thousands. All of our institutions are required to do a health needs assessment periodically by the federal government, and that can be actually a good starting point. One of the things I think oftentimes as a chair of pediatrics, when I was chair, that I didn't really appreciate was that the mental health needs of the community. And that comes out usually very clearly in these mental health assessments and these community needs assessments. I think the other thing I just wanted to emphasize is what Bruder talked about. It's important for people to take some time to explain to them the role that they're going to play in the search process, because it's a fairly arcane process from many perspectives, even those of us who've lived all of our lives in it. And it's important for them to understand that they're not going to necessarily be selecting the particular individual who's going to be the leader, but they're going to be giving very valuable input that will allow the best person to be selected. And oftentimes, there's not a real understanding of that, I think, at the community level.
Thank you for those comments. And it can be a complex process. One of the things that I have found useful, especially in my experience going to Syracuse, where I was new to that community, was to understand the epidemiology and what are the things that are really weighing hard on the community, and what have been the challenges in the community feeling a part of that academic institution, and that institution actually is here to serve them. I'm going to go on to the second question I'd like to pose to you. What benefits to the academic institution, and you touched on this a little bit, do you believe might accrue from the participation of community representatives or representatives in this leadership recruitment process? And you could probably tell my bias in this question, that I'm trying to point us to the positives, to the strengths, et cetera. And we will come to some of the challenges, but I'd like to tap both Bob and Chris to share their own experiences. I mean, if you can, place it in the context of, you know, your own communities, so you can give some examples.
I find myself wondering about the definition of communities. for certain positions, like the chair of pediatrics or the dean or a hospital executive, the number of communities that they may touch in their role is enormous. And so getting all of those perspectives on the front end may be challenging. But that said, I think the comments that have been made are important, that they really need to be included in the process. I'm not sure they necessarily all need to be on the search committee. As Craig said, you don't want to cast of thousands on the search committee. But as this group has talked about before, I think an important thing on the front end of any search is defining the criteria by which the person's going to be selected. And it's really imperative that the community voice be involved in that. So if you don't call it out as a metric, if you will, by which they'll be judged, then it may be minimized. Going back to your original question, as Arnie mentioned, that you can set the tone for the ultimate person who's selected for their future success in their role. If they've had an opportunity to touch base with these people so that they feel heard, and there's at least some understanding of the variety of problems or the magnitude of their problems, it's going to set that new chair, that new dean up for success in the future. I would expand in terms of communities, again, for the chair of pediatrics or the dean. It's also going to include other medical disciplines. You know, as a surgeon, for example, I was very interested in who the new chair of pediatrics would be or who the new dean would be. So I think the central point here is that getting all these voices heard in some way, shape, or form is important. The challenge is how to do it in a way that isn't logistically not feasible.
Chris, your thoughts on this?
I would just add to Bob's, you know, how beneficial this can be for an institution, even in the pre-search or before things even get started, to invite, invite the opinions and the thoughts of community leaders, you know, religious, educational, the pediatricians, you know, in my case with neonatology, the obstetricians, the competitive, you know, pieces of it, you know, to inform what's an ideal candidate and what resources are going to be needed and what's the mission for, you know, of the institution, the hospital, the department in searching for this new leader. So I think that's, you know, you phrased it originally, Danielle, as the benefits. What are the benefits of inviting this community participation? And I also agree with Arnie that in the positions that I've been recruited to and so forth, when I've had a chance to meet with community pediatricians, community leaders, the competition, you know, whatever it was, it certainly prepared me. I felt much more engaged when I actually accepted the positions, but also more aware, I guess, of what some of the issues might be from those folks' perspective and how they were involved, whether they were on the search committee or not, or had provided input, or I met on interviews, or all of the above. So I think that was very beneficial, or could be, for the candidates. Of course, there are downsides to that. You know, you don't know what they're saying necessarily and what's out there, but it's transparent. I guess along those lines, I would just add one thing that your conversations, all of you, have caused me to reflect on. And that is, you know, if you're going to be inviting particularly a member of a search committee or a group that's going to come in and interview the candidates, I think it's very challenging to be sure that you're not excluding people. Craig mentioned the cast of thousands. It's like, well, if you're going to focus on mental health, where somebody thinks that actually, you know, that's not the main problem in the community, it's, you know, racism or this and that. I mean, you could wind up, you know, just by the process of doing it, unintentionally excluding important or influential or further engaging, you know, for the candidates, members of a community. So I think how one goes about doing that, and I know I've made missteps in that regard. I won't speak for everybody, but, you know, it's difficult. You know, pulling it out and saying, okay, we're going to involve the community, or as Craig said, cast of thousands. Well, who are they? And what are you saying about your department, division, your institution? When you say we're going to invite these community members, these parents, these religious leaders, these educators, you know, these pediatricians, but not those, you know, it's a challenge, I think.
Yes, I think it's really critical to tailor the community group's involvement to the candidate and to tailor the issues to the candidate. And that requires preparation and getting to know the candidate beforehand and planning ahead of time, not just having a standard sort of protocol, but rather to tailor it. You know, is it a religious need? If you're recruiting a person of a certain religion, you want to make sure that they know about the community that exists for them and their family. If it's about a division director involved in behavioral health, that's when mental health becomes a key issue. So tailoring the involvement of the community, I think, is critical to the success. And it helps, Chris, limit the cast of thousands.
Final question was really, and I'd like the entire panel to really comment on this. And it's a combination of looking at what the benefits are, because academic health centers have not always done it right. I've been in Los Angeles, where Compton and Watts were often the communities we were addressing and not engaging them. And we know that structural racism and health disparities persist and have persisted throughout my career. I was at the University of Pennsylvania at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for residency and fellowship. And in our backyard, there was West Philly that has some of the most bitter poverty that I've seen. New York City is a conglomerate of things where I've seen different community engagement. And in Syracuse ranked, I didn't know this when I was being recruited as president, ranked in number one in concentrated poverty for Blacks and Latinos. And there has often been this divide, which is what prompted this question. How do you get community involvement in a real way? And how do you avoid those pitfalls? And I'd like to address that question. I'm going to call out perhaps Wesley, but others to weigh in. And how do we show that we actually mean it? We mean true involvement, not window dressing, but we mean as an academic medical center, an academic health center or department, whatever, or community, we mean it that we want the lives of children to be better. And we are part of the community. We are not separate from that community commitment. It's not the ivory tower here and the community here. How do we redefine that? So Wesley, I know this is a tough question, but you've committed yourself to these kinds of searches. What can you share with us?
Well, there's a lot to say. You know, I think that the search itself is not going to solve those problems, but the search itself can identify leaders who can help to solve those problems. I think the way you engage community in the search process, as Arnie talked about, can be a window into how you as an organization seek to solve those problems. So to me, if there's no perfect search, and I think oftentimes we don't involve our community or our board members or other people in academic searches because there's a fear of people being under the hood, if you will, or behind the curtain and seeing what's going on. And I think sometimes people try to control that. I think we have to remember that at the end of the day, this is a search. At the end of the day, you're trying to impress somebody to move their family to your community. I think we have to remember that, you know, for a really large, highly ranked children's hospital with a strong brand, and you know, every ICU bed is named after a different family in the community. Every program is named after a different family in the community. Probably easier for a candidate to feel a sense of community in those institutions, though it may be, you know, at a very high level and not a personal level. But I think for 80% of the children's hospitals out there, you know, engaging community in these searches is essential, you know, to, because in a sense, that's a favor you're doing for the candidate, in my opinion, that's going to lead to their success. Because when one meets, you know, three pediatricians that control, you know, large percentages of the primary care base in a community, when one meets a community member that's got a passion for hematologic disease, when one meet, you know, I think it's what you're allowing the candidate to do is, yes, see that we're real people, see that we know what our problems are, which helps us to look self-aware, which is a huge thing to candidates. But it also surrounds them with people who are saying, yes, we could do better, you know, in cancer, we could do better in cardiac, but we're here to work with you to solve that, versus a candidate feeling like it's all up to them and them alone. And so, again, I think, you know, you solve the issues, Danielle, that you referenced by, you know, by engaging community and communities. I think it's important in a leadership search for the organization to be able to demonstrate that it has that engagement with its community, because if not, candidates can assume that maybe the other hospital or maybe the other department in town has that relationship or has that community. So again, those are just some thoughts, but again, as Arnie talked about being strategic, Craig, Bob, Chris, everybody's talked about it, but I think being very strategic in your process, highly recommend involving community engagement and search processes in every round of interviews. And again, so I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. I was just going to say that the fact that you've made efforts during the search process to include the community is really important, not just for the community, but it's also really important for the candidate himself. And I think Wes actually commented a bit on this, but the search process actually goes on even after the successful recruitment and the candidate actually comes, because it's really a process of helping the community understand this indeed is the chair of pediatrics or whatever it is, whatever search you're talking about, and how this chair is going to relate to the community by focus groups, by advisory panels, whatever. But having the community being involved up front is a really important part in terms of setting the ground for that in the future. So,
well, this has been a wonderful discussion. And I think one of the ways that this can be a very positive, successful interaction is how you treat the community representatives. In other words, having them give a tour and not even know who the person is or what the goals of the search are. I mean, preparing the community involvement and respecting them the same way you respect the internal people with a full understanding of who it is they're looking at or talking with. And I think, the whole professionalism of the search really needs to be included in any interactions with the community, because the community can be such an asset in recruiting, but it's also important, how you respect them in terms of the search. And I just, we've talked a little bit about that, both the preparation and then during the search, having them give, making sure that they have the full information and they have an opportunity to give meaningful feedback and that you keep them informed of what's happening. I think that's very important.
Thank you. And while we could go on, I'm going to sum up a little bit of what I've heard. First, I want to thank my colleagues for engaging in this conversation and to point out the purpose of these pediatric insights is to continuously have conversations and tough issues. These are tough issues. And preparation, certainly I heard respect is another word that I heard in terms of that recruitment process. I heard that real engagement of understanding that how you engage with community is, I liked your term, Wesley, window as to the organization's perspective on this. Okay, you get a sense of what the culture might be. For the communities, it's a sense of not only being heard, but we are at this the service of communities. And so being heard is important. Being transparent, okay, sharing information, complex information as well. Sharing information can lead to trust and not being risk averse. No one said this, but I think I heard it in our conversations, and that not being afraid to involve communities because it can get complicated. Well, we're in a complicated world. Chris, you pointed out, and this ties to Bruta's point about respect, is not excluding. So do you have a preparatory phase of external folks who have engaged together throughout a process prior to a search that then can have a meaningful involvement in a search that is, to Arnie's point, tailored to that person's involvement? Because that shows respect as well. It's not tokenism, but it really has meaning in its involvement. And I must say, I'll end with this, which is a feeling of belonging, because, the decision to be recruited or recruiting someone into a position is a commitment to joining a community. It's not just the academic community, it's the full community. And that sense of belonging goes a long way to having a happy, we didn't use the term happy, a happy faculty member or division chief or chair. And happiness lends to quality work. Anyway, I didn't plan that ending, but thank you very much for this conversation and to be continued. And please look at the website because we have lots of materials posted and lots of references to articles that can teach, that can, where you can actually see some of the nuts and bolts of doing what we have talked about pretty much at a high level. Thank you very much.